Well, hello, everybody. We're going to get started here in just a minute. We're setting things up here on my end, so just hang tight. I see Daniel's here. I see somebody with the name of iPhone also here. So, we'll just give folks another couple of minutes also to join us, and then we'll get going. All right, guys, so let's go ahead and get started. I know some others are going to be joining us here in a minute, and I appreciate you guys being patient with us and being accommodating. We had to move our call time today. We're pretty good about keeping it 1 o'clock Wednesdays twice a month, but we had some scheduling challenges. Susan and I had to work around, so thank you for being accommodating for us. So let's get started with wins. And though there's only a couple of you on so far, hopefully this change didn't create a lot of confusion. But here's what I'd like for you to do. If you could go to the chat area and just type in a capital W and just share a win that you've had over the past couple of weeks. Now, a reminder, a win doesn't have to be anything monumental. It could be something as important as working through your current game plan and making progress. Let's say that you stalled there for a minute, for a week or two, and now you're back on track and you feel good about the progress you're making. Or you had a response from a prospect that you feel really excited about. Anything along those lines, just let us know. I find that many times we just focus on the negative and not on the progress we are making, the good things that are happening. This is a great opportunity to share that. So just go to the chat area. Let me know, and we'll go ahead and get started. I'll share a win here. You know, I spent some time midday today working on something I've been procrastinating on for a while, and I just did a nice focus session with a timer, and I tend to do these quite a bit, but this particular project was one I just couldn't get myself to do. So I got so much done in 15 minutes. I just turned everything off and was able to knock this thing out that I had just been putting off for so long. It felt great. And now I can get that off my to-do list and move on to other things. Let's see, who do we have here? Dan. Hello, Dan. Daniel. Eva. Welcome. Hey, can you guys hear me, by the way? I'm not seeing anything from you guys. I want to make sure that you can hear me okay. All right, looks like you are. Awesome, all right, let's see, Daniel. Daniel says, I got the opportunity to work with a coffee company client out of LA this week on a paid piece of starter content. Looks like they're interested in doing a bit more. I did a free mock-up of a page of content, adding in the right SEO tags, and it kind of impressed them. Man, that's fantastic. That's great, Daniel. Man, that's serious progress. That's got to make you feel great, huh? Congratulations. That's wonderful. Eva says, I had a couple calls with potential clients. One, I'm going to be their go-to writer for help with real estate websites. And two a month is the plan. Second, I have two prospective client calls this week with proposals. And I create an overall marketing strategy and a weekly and daily plan. My goodness, man, you are like on fuego, amiga. Eva does not mess around. That's a lot, and it's only Wednesday. Love it. Good stuff. And I see Beverly is also here. Hey, Beverly, welcome. Good to see you here. And I think Beverly, I don't want to speak for Beverly, but she, you know, she did something bold and scary a few days ago. So if you want to share, Beverly, feel free. But that was a great move on your part, and hopefully you've stretched the boundaries of your comfort zone a little bit. Yeah, so now Eva wants to know, see, I created enough intrigue here that now you got to spill the beans, because that's definitely a win. Okay, so let's see. Beverly, if you want to share, just let us know, but I'll go ahead and move on to projects. Curious what everyone is working on right now. What is your main focus in terms of our work together? Not client projects, but our work together. Things that you're doing to work on your business. Type in a capital P in the chat area and let me know your main focus right now. Beverly says out, her bold move is she sent out two significant client proposals. And I'll say that she's being very modest. These are things that were big enough to really scare her in fees that were much higher than what she's used to. So, yeah, I also had a client call yesterday from a LinkedIn connection. The CEO is pumped to work with me and has set up a call with CMO for next week. Man, see, again, Beverly, I just got to say this, and I hope that this resonates. It's easy because we habituate so easily. It's easy to lose sight of the progress you've made over the past few months. I mean, if you look back to when I know you and I first started corresponding, you were in a totally different place. So it's easy to forget that. Just make sure that you constantly look at that gap that you've crossed, because that to me is so motivating, and hopefully you'll find that motivating and encouraging. Eva is working on marketing plan, architecting her week, working out my capacity planner as I nail down these clients. Yeah, good stuff. Daniel is working on positioning and website copy, doing some prospecting wherever possible. Good. I'm glad that you didn't stop the prospecting in the meantime, Daniel. That's really important. Very easy to say, well, you know, it's I'll get to that. I know that you got to do these things first. Beverly says, I kept hearing Ed's voice in my head. Between his and Susan's voice, it's scary up. I bet it is. All right, guys, let's get to questions and discussions. I'm going to check for pre-submitted questions while I give you a chance to submit what you've got. But it's pretty straightforward. Look, I'd like to have a conversation with you if you got something for me. So just give me an idea of what you've got. You don't have to tell me the whole question. I'll unmute you and we'll talk. But type in a capital Q in front of it just so I know that that's what it is. And ground rules are very straightforward. One question per person. Keep your question focused and specific. That way we can get really into the details and helping you with a specific thing. And make sure you have a question. So sometimes people share this whole concern, but there's no question there. So it's fine if there's a concern, but then what is your question? So what is the thing that I can help you with the most? While I'm waiting, we do have one pre-submitted question. And I just want to remind everybody that that's always an option. So if you know you're not going to be able to make it, or if you're not sure, but you still have a question you want me or Susan to address, each call has its own page. Just go to the upcoming call page, type in your question, pre-submit it. We'll actually address those first. Now, if you're going to be here, there's no need for you to pre-submit if you know you're going to be here. Okay, I'd rather we have a conversation instead of just reading it, me reading it, and then just giving you an answer here. But otherwise, feel free. You can do this days ahead of time. You don't have to do it the day of or anything like that. So this question is from Daniel. He says, I'm looking to fill a freelance income gap of about $1,000 a month quickly without taking on a bunch of low-paying trash work. I applied to the subcontractor gig with Case Study Buddy, but not expecting that to take off for several weeks. Yeah, I would agree. They're not, they got all kinds of things going on, so this is not going to be something that will generate cash flow next week, you know. If they choose to work with me, could use some advice support around quick ways to stop a leak. Okay, yeah, and I know you're here, so let's let me unmute you, and we can talk. Hey, Daniel, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good, man. Good to talk to you.
Indeed.
So tell me what's going on. You need to fill about $1,000 a month relatively quickly.
Yeah, so previous engagement ended with someone I subcontract with. I'm still working with them, but they don't have anything to basically replace their client, and therefore downstream here I am. I was doing a bunch of content for a medical website for gynecologist and urologist office here in Atlanta. So I was doing probably about $1,000 worth of work, give or take, every month for them. Just trying to sort of not have them be such an important part of my, you know, my freelance income, really, is trying to get away from like leaning too heavily on that, especially now that, you know, they've taken a hit. I don't really expect them to really bounce back super fast because they just had a kid like this week. So they've got their hands full, you know? Again, try not to be dependent.
Yeah, absolutely. So with this kind of stuff, I like to take an 80-20 approach to it. And I want to look for the things that are going to not only get me relatively quick results, but I'm also factoring in things that are easy to do, don't require a ton of time or setup or things like that, right? Because there's all kinds of things we could do to try to find some more quickly. But, what's the time? For instance, I think one of the places or one of the things that a lot of people do in the situation, not you guys, but is they go to Upwork, a place like Upwork, and they'll try to find something there. Now, it seems like the right thing to do because, well, gosh, at least people there, prospects, are saying they have this need. But what they're not factoring in is, yeah, but what's the competition like there? And then sifting through all the junk to try to find the opportunities where I actually do have a chance. So you got to look at it a little bit deeper. What I want to know is, Where can I start to find something quickly and that has a good chance of getting results? So do you have a past clients, current clients, and dormant or non-active, not yet ready prospects, over the past? Because I know you've been doing this for a while.
So yeah, I do. I just wrapped up a project for a current client, and I've been thinking about ways I could maybe try to find to add more value for them. They're a consulting agency. They do like active shooter training, and so we just relaunched their website. We did a redesign, copy update. I think they need more, but not exactly sure what to offer them at this point. But we have a good relationship. I mentioned the coffee folks here. I just did this article for them and optimized some of their other content, with internal tags and stuff like that wasn't done before. I think I could probably pitch them on maybe some more work as well. Other than that, I've been sort of reaching back into the backlog of folks, in LinkedIn that I've done one-offs for. Nothing great has really come from those conversations yet.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. You don't necessarily need to pitch something. And in fact, many cases that won't make sense. This is really about right now, it's more about kind of segmenting where you could go and then deciding on how to approach them. So I would kind of break this up into two steps. So I would start with current clients, past or dormant clients, and not yet ready prospects. So prospects you've come in contact with, the timing just wasn't right. Okay. This is where your best opportunities are, because they already know you, and in many cases already like and trust you as well. Yeah. We'll talk about how to approach them next. But the other thing would be, let me just do a different color here. So the next layer after that would be just going after cold prospects. But being very choosy, and just use current and prior experience. All right, so I'll give you an example, okay? Just bear with me. This may not be perfect example. But, like, let's say you're about to do work with this, or you've been doing work for this roaster, okay? I think you said it was a coffee roaster, right?
Yeah.
Coffee
yeah.
company. Okay, so let's say that you've done a couple like this, a couple of roasters. All right, because you've had this experience, that's something you can leverage. So one of the biggest challenges that people have when it's, okay, I'm going to go cold prospecting, it's where do you start? Because everyone's a prospect. And even when you've narrowed down your positioning, which is, I know, what you're working on right now, it's still like a huge field. So where do you start? So what you could do is you could take where you've had recent experience or a lot of experience in, and then go look for other prospects like that. So let's just assume, you know, you've worked for several coffee roasters and let's just say breweries. Okay, so that's kind of in the same realm. You know, these are artisanal products. Then yeah. You go out and find a few more, seem like they got their marketing act together. And you approach them. You see what I'm saying? And then
the
angle there is, you know, I have one of my specialty areas is coffee roasters, or one of my specialty areas is craft breweries. And that just really narrows down your field. And I'm going to put
exactly.
As a hook.
Yeah, for sure.
And then what you do is you just, you know, you mention that. and then you just keep going down, you know, down the line.
Yeah. So I've been kind of hunting those people, a little bit. I've tried to get into a couple of, like Facebook groups for, like coffee shop owners, et cetera. So that's one of the, and I've applied for a craft beer, marketers group as well. You know, they make you fill out all the applications to make sure you're not a spammer. So kind of trying to find those people right now. So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. I would say adjacent markets to those. So let's use that example. Let's say, well, I haven't really done any work for craft brewers, but I have a lot of experience with similar artisanal, producers. So adjacent markets would be, so you've done coffee, but an adjacent market would be craft brewer.
Yeah.
So by adjacent, I kind of think of it visually, you know, like, If this is coffee, you know, a brewer might be here, you know, it's kind of in the same realm. And
yeah.
The theory is, and this actually works in practice, because you have that experience, you can explain how it translates to this.
Yeah, I think it's like it kind of appeals to the customer in a real similar way.
Exactly.
So that makes a lot of sense.
And, you know, down here, then you start getting into red territory. So that's why I have it kind of last. Frankly, most people, I put it here, most people don't get to that level because you can exhaust all your possibilities in these three layers. I mean, you'll never exhaust those, basically.
Yeah, that makes
so
a lot of
this
sense.
Would be like the Upworks, you know, and job sites.
Yeah.
Random.
Haven't had a lot of great experiences on any of those kinds of things.
Yeah, exactly. So this is most people actually work their way up, you know, like they start here and work their way up, which is doesn't, I mean, I get the logic, but it doesn't work in real life. So
yeah, that makes sense.
In terms of how to, I think your best bet again is going to be up here. The best thing I can do, I think I put this in your game plan too, but I know you haven't gotten to it yet, but you can skip ahead. The email prospecting playbook.
Yes, I have downloaded that and I've started using some of the phraseology that you recommend.
Perfect. Perfect. So it works really well with, with all three of these layers. But the reason you want to start with current clients, past dormant clients, and not yet ready prospects, again, they know, like, and trust you. And I would, you know, this is really 9-word email territory, and I explained that there. You know, when you know that they were working on X, but it was kind of on hold or in the back burner, now, that was 3 months ago, now you're reaching out, you're trying to fill your pipeline, you're trying to get something in. Now, your 9-word email is, are you still thinking about doing X?
Okay.
You know, and that's really, really powerful. So notice I'm not pitching anything. Are you still thinking about doing X? Now, where in cases where you don't have, you know, you don't know what they were working on, there's different approaches you could take. One that I really like is the just being honest, of course, kind of downplaying it a little bit, but I have this sudden gap in my schedule. I'm looking to bring in one client who needs like these kinds of things, where, you know, who is looking for someone who could use someone with a skill set. Do you think there might be an opportunity for something like that, or should we connect? So this is the I have a gap. You know, I have a gap email.
Okay.
The other one I mentioned was the are you still thinking? And there's several other examples in there you could use.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
And you're prompting them. Now, with those, and you'll see the examples, you always want to, it always ends with a question. And it's got to be short. Keep your subject line really boring. So for the I have a gap email, I would say, I would do something like, for the subject line, schedule. You know, a gap, an unexpected gap in my schedule. That's the tie-in. As opposed to giving away the message in the subject line.
That makes a lot of sense.
You know, for this one, my subject line might be, you know, let's just say it was the website revamp website. Instead of website revamp?
Yeah.
And that's it. It's the intent here, the feeling you need to go into is pretend that you're writing an email to someone you know about something really boring. Like, hey, are we still on for, you know, dinner Sunday afternoon or Sunday night? Like, you wouldn't type up like this marketing subject line, right?
Right. So just like a real quick sort of punchy little thing.
Yeah, it would be dinner.
Almost like a text message, like dinner question mark.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's kind of the energy I put into those emails. I spent a lot of time coming up. This is kind of funny. I spent a lot of time coming up with something that doesn't look like I spent a lot of time on.
That makes a lot of sense.
So try those things. Again, Great. Just keep focused. Start with this first group. Then go to the cold prospect. And by the way, with cold prospects, you could do a couple of things. You could do email and a plus LinkedIn. So you're going to be in LinkedIn anyway, probably looking for a name.
Yeah.
Might as well then send a personalized connection request at that point and then send your warm email.
Okay, so sort of a two-step connection there. Send a quick note in LinkedIn, send the warm email.
Yeah, I was actually going through this with someone the other day. Let me see if I find it. There's several different approaches you could take. Okay. I mean, and you know, from here, there's all kinds of different permutations, but you send warm email number one. This is one approach. Then 1 to 7 days later, you send in the LinkedIn connection. And then 7 to 14 days later, you send the warm email number two, which is a follow-up. And then if you wanted to, and I don't think you need to go here right now, is you turn your original warm email into a letter and you snail mail that. Okay, so that's one thing you could do. Another one is you start with a LinkedIn connection. Again, it's personalized, put in a quick personalized message. And by the way, the message needs to be something about you notice about them. Hey, love the way you're presenting this product. I work with companies like you, whatever that is, you know, I focus on working on this, or companies like you would love to connect here.
Cool.
You know, and then, 1 to 7 days later, you send a warm email, and I say 1 to 7. Notice the difference in here was, it's also 1 to, but remember earlier I said might as well send the LinkedIn right away. LinkedIn connections, same thing here. So you have whatever makes sense for you. You could wait. Why wait instead of sending it right here? Sometimes it makes sense to kind of spread out over time the touch points, just in case they're out of town, in case they're busy, you caught them at a bad time. And if you spread the window from contact one to the last contact attempt, you can kind of diversify your outreach, if you will. Sometimes if you jam pack them too much in here, you've kind of exhausted your possibilities early on and risk the fact that maybe they're out of town. And now you've just shortened this window, you know, so it's going to be more like, now it ends here.
Okay.
So yeah, this other one again, 1 to 7 days later, then send a warm email. Then 7 to 14 days after the first email, you could do that, then you can send a letter.
Cool.
Okay. So, hey, this could be a good thing. It could be a good thing because it's stretching you and forcing you to get out there, try some new methods, get out of your comfort zone. And like I like to say, nature hates a vacuum. So when you lose an opportunity like that, sometimes it feels like, oh, no, this is not good. In hindsight, it might be one of the best things that could have happened to you.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because, you know, the $1,000 was hard to come by with that client because it was a lot of work. So, you know, thinking through the mindset piece and the law of polarity, you know, if you know, it's a better opportunity on the other side of this loss here. So I'm not super worried about it. I'm just, I just want to be proactive, but I'm really optimistic about what could come out of it.
Awesome. Love it. Well, good luck. Keep us posted, okay?
For sure. Definitely will. Thanks so much for that.
You bet. You bet, Daniel. All right. Good stuff. Let's see. Let's go back to questions. Okay. Eva had a question here. Heard from Susan. There was an updated LinkedIn training coming up. Any idea when it's going to be released? Yes, we're shooting for the first week of October, so in a couple of weeks. Let's see, what's today, the 18th? Yeah, so not next week, week after that is our target. Really excited about this one because it's such a low-key, organic approach to leveraging LinkedIn. That frankly, I know when you guys go through it, you're going to go, wow, I either going to say one or two things. I kind of do something like that now, but I got some new ideas that I can implement to make it better. Or you're going to say, why didn't I do that before? Like, this is so simple. So that's, I think all you guys are going to get a lot out of it. So yeah, we'll keep you posted. And Eva, just be on the lookout for the first week of October. When I say keep you posted, I actually shouldn't say that. We try not to make announcements of new training. We're constantly posting and uploading new training into the training portal. We used to announce it to everybody, but what we found was that people were getting distracted. They would abandon their game plan because of the new shiny object, and then they would get distracted. So now what we've been doing for the past few months is we just don't announce them. We just upload them. I'm trying to think of the best way to let you know, and it might just be to keep an eye on it and then maybe just email us, email support, and ask them, you know, is it going to be this week and where is it? I'm pretty sure it's going to be under market and develop a plan. Just FYI, if you want to check that area. All right. And then Eva has another question here. Okay. As a real estate investor too, I have a special insight into the workings of a real estate deal. Today, I just started pitching an article series to real estate magazines, hoping to get a byline and possibly my foot in the door and my name out there. I have seven topics that I came up with from my direct involvement in selling one of my rental properties that we originally never intended to sell. I wrote down all the steps we went through to analyze, decide, and the choice we made to sell. So the articles will be very inside woman type. I was also thinking of pitching the Not Yet NYR. When I see NYR, I always think Not Yet Ready. NYR Real Estate Marketing Agency. Oh, okay. Yeah, so it is Not Yet Ready. With the same article options for their clients. Thoughts? I love that. So let me bring you in. Hey, Eva.
Hi. How are you?
Doing well.
Good.
Well, I love how you're thinking about this. So you're also thinking about pitching the real estate marketing agencies with the same article options for their clients. Yeah. So you're pitching, or have you started pitching the publications themselves already?
I did. Yep. I've started pitching them. I haven't heard. It was just today. I was just like, oh, why am I not doing this? Because I originally was going to make videos about it just separately for just random YouTube videos, you know, because as an investor, we tend to, and people always do, and I don't know, a lot of people probably do this too when they're looking for coaching. They go out there and they start searching all kinds of videos. Well, there's nothing in the real estate niche that matches like a middle of the road investor, which is where we're at. We're about, you know, we're 12 years in. So we're not super senior to where I've been doing this for 20 and I'm not brand new. So the problems and stuff that we've had or insights or whatever you want to call them, challenges along the way are unique to this specific time frame of ownership, kind of. So I was like, oh sweet, I'll write all this down. And again, like I said, I was going to make videos, but then I thought today, I was like, why am I not just pitching these ideas to magazines? Because again, I know that there's a hole because I don't see information on this ever. And why, you know, to keep it to myself seems kind of silly. So I just started and I haven't heard back from anyone yet, but
yeah, I I'm assuming that when you pitched it, you emphasized the fact that there is nothing like this. You're kind of in the gap.
But I did emphasize the fact that this was like in our deal process and where we were. So hopefully okay. They get that, but maybe not. If not, then that'll be my follow-up.
Yeah, I would consider that for your follow-up. And I mean, I know that, well, gosh, they should know that. But sometimes the obvious things... Remember, the closer you are to the thing, you know, the easier it is to miss some of the important details.
True.
So, and I've always loved that aspect of pitching something. It's like, you know, there's A and there's B, but nobody's talking about that gap in the middle. Mm-hmm. You know, like the missing thing. This has got a name, this whole angle. It's the thing that nobody's really addressing because right. It's very binary. because that just makes it really, really clear and compelling. So just something to keep in mind, maybe like you said in the follow-up. Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I'm thinking. I definitely see the value of pitching these publications and just waiting to see what you hear. Mm-hmm. Because that would be the highest value, I think, for now. And you already know it's not in terms of getting paid. The ones that do pay aren't going to pay you much. This is, like you said, really for the credibility, mm-hmm. the social proof. And, of course, all the other things that it could lead to, because this can have a multiplier effect.
Right.
But I'm not sure if I would at the same time pitch your real estate marketing agencies that you have as prospects.
Okay.
With the same options for their clients for a couple of reasons. If you do get a bite from one of them and then suddenly you get one of your prospects to bite on one of it, now you're kind of caught in the middle.
Sure.
And they're probably going to want an exclusive on it. Like they're not going to want this to have been published or, you know, for you to have written it and published it elsewhere.
Right. Okay.
Right. The other thing too is, you know, what do they take it and run with it? I wouldn't be terribly concerned about that, but I would kind of take use a pecking order here.
Okay.
And start with the highest, best value option and then work your way down.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. It just had dawned on me right when we jumped on the call. I was like, oh, I have all these agencies sitting here too. Maybe I should do that. But yeah, it does make sense. And it's been probably 2 months since I had backed off on emailing publishers because I wasn't hearing anything, but then again, realized that I had some inside information that I should be sharing. So I'm hoping that this kind of turns into something.
Yeah. I think it's great. How many publications did you contact?
Right now is 7.
Oh, good. Okay. Oh, so, God, something's got to come out of that.
There's a few more out there. There's about 13 that I think would be a good place for it. And so I'll finish up with those and then we'll see.
We'll take the pyramid from the other slide. We'll invert it. And again, you know, you just got to 80-20.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is your 80 right here in terms of the impact.
Sure.
But 20% possibly of the your effort. So if this is the publications, you know, maybe the next one is prospects. Now, if you pitch it to an agency prospect and it would be for their clients, is the idea that they could then with you in a collaborative fashion, go to their client and say, we have some great ideas for you. And, you know, we have a writer who could get on this immediately.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping so. I mean, I'm kind of hoping that that's, it wouldn't be something that I'd sell saying, here, you can take this and customize it for whoever you're dealing with. That's not what I was thinking. I was kind of hoping that it would be, like, as you said, more of a collaborative relationship. I seem to be finding people more receptive to that as I'm talking with some of them. So mm-hmm. I was kind of hoping that that's what I could do with it.
What about do you have any agency clients that focus on the real estate market?
Just the only one that I've nailed down is this new one that I'm going to start writing websites for. So I'm not completely in the door there yet to where I could bring up, other external client work, but definitely, I mean, obviously if we get to that point and I haven't heard from any of the others, then I would definitely pitch that to them too.
Well, I see this makes sense. Maybe I'm looking at it the wrong way, but might it make more sense to, you know, move the prospects here and then start with the agency client? Maybe not now because you just started, but there's a relationship there already and a little bit of trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
And plus you can add some value by bringing some ideas to the table and show them, you know, some ideas that they could use to help their clients.
Mm-hmm. Yes, definitely. And they're totally open to that, which is awesome. So they're definitely ones that would probably take any insight as being helpful. So that's good.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe I'll try that second instead.
Perfect. So then, you know, start with, you already have a relationship, a working relationship, then prospects would come after that. And then, I would say you is down here, and you know, it's, this doesn't have to be mutually exclusive, by the way, because here's what's going to happen. Out of all those ideas that you have, like, they're going to take, you know, we want this one and this one.
Sure. Probably.
Right. And there might be a third, cause there's quite a few publications.
Sure.
But look at all the slots that are open, right?
Right.
So then the idea is, you know, you come here with the balance.
Sure.
You know, come here with the balance. And then I would say they're all fair game for you here afterwards.
Sure.
Because you could take all those, what is that, like 12 different ideas, and just to put a number, and you could turn that into, you know, 12 articles for your newsletter. You could repurpose them into videos.
Mm-hmm.
You could, you know, create one webinar. The idea of a webinar is not for all these people to attend. It's just that you now have like something, you have some content.
Sure.
You know, all kinds of things, social media. Yeah. You can splinter this into all kinds of different times, things, an ebook. Compile it together or stitch it together.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, now all those 12 things are fair game for you. And not only can you repurpose, but you can splinter into all kinds of things. So this is what I love of this, the content marketing multiplier aspect that I teach. It's really all about this. It's about most writers, ironically, don't want to spend time writing content for themselves because it feels like a lot of work, you know, 3 hours, let's say, for an article, and this, I'm not getting paid for this, and I never have time for it. But when you think about the fact that it's not 3 hours equals like, you know, this small amount of work or possible work, 3 hours, you know, it's more like this, because you get such a multiplier effect here because of all the things you could do, just like we've shown here.
Mm-hmm.
And then that, to me, gives me the incentive. It's like, you know what? I'm going to spend 3 hours, but I'm going to be able to just get so much use out of this thing.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like you're the hand-me-down clothes for your kids, right? It's like, you know, I spent good money on those shorts, man, but, you know, the number one's worn them, number two's worn them, number three's worn them, number three has no idea.
Right.
That, you know, this has been used so many times.
True. Very true. Okay. Yeah. And I didn't think about it that way. So that's awesome. Cause I was kind of assuming, obviously in my brain, I'm like, ooh, best case scenario, they take all seven. Right. And then I'm like, okay, awesome. I'm writing all seven, but I didn't think that they would, you know, chicken, you know, pick at it and take what they want, which is totally fine too. But then why not offer it to everybody else, at least the ones I didn't write previously? So yeah, there's just lots of steps that you clarified that I was completely overlooking.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what, then that tells me, now that you say that, that during those times when you don't have much going on, you know, as always, right, use that time wisely for marketing and nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this could be a great back burner project, you know, while you're waiting. You know, you're going to eventually end up down here.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So why not just go ahead and start maybe mind mapping the content and then maybe outlining some of them and then maybe fleshing those out into a Frankendraft. And so I would keep doing it, because here's the thing, like, as you think of the topics, I'm sure you're like this, because most of us are, you start getting excited and you start getting ideas.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you want to capture those while the excitement is high?
Sure.
Might as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's a good idea too. Okay, awesome.
So yeah, you're going to do it anyway. Might as well go ahead. And if, you know, these, they say no to most of them, that's fine. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. Cause you have a plan beyond that.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Good stuff. Yeah, and it's so funny. Love the conversation that you guys have here in the chat area. I'm a total coffee snob. I have my beans roasted, an outfit out of Olympia, Washington. They actually have one here too in Atlanta, but they don't do the shipping out of here. So here they just do commercial. So I have them, I'm on auto order. Every 5 weeks I receive a shipment because I got tired of running out. So I call them, they set me up special because they don't do that normally, but they sent me up special with an auto order. Such a snob. First world problems. All right, Beverly asked, I've probably seen this somewhere, but I can't recall. On these projects, I'd like to get feedback on the pages and emails I've offered to create before I send them to the client. Is there a permanent thread on Facebook for critiques? Is that recommended? Yeah, let's talk. Hold on, Beverly, I'm trying to unmute you. And it's not letting me. Oh, there you are. Hey, Beverly. Yeah.
Hi there.
Oh, how are you?
I'm fantastic and happy to say so.
Awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm very happy to see that you are stepping out of your comfort zone and, you know, you're starting to see the benefits of that.
Oh my goodness. Those proposals were, that was Sunday. I wrote them Sunday and I decided I was going to write a template so that all I had to do from this point forward is change names and deliverables. But this is who I am, and this is why you need me. And, you know, I told you I've stopped chasing people who already make homeschool products. And I've started chasing people who make educational products that don't even realize that they ought to be in homeschools. And I am getting such enormous, wonderful feedback. Because these people are like, I never thought of that. Can you help us? As a matter of fact, I can.
I love it. I love it. Well, hey, there you go. So look what happens, right? many times I find that it's not what we thought it would be, you know, in terms of the reception and the feedback and the reaction. Oh, good for you.
Well, it has turned out to be something unexpected and amazing. And these people, like the little mom and pop homeschoolers whom I love, these people have been in an educational business forever and they already have marketing departments set up. They already use copywriters and that has made all the difference.
Yeah. Those are the ones to work with. Well,
great. I did.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me make sure I understand. So with this question, you're saying, hey, I've gone ahead and created a draft of, you know, this piece for this client. I'd love to get a second set of eyes on it. Is that the question?
Yeah, I'm doing things I've not done before. I've done emails and whatnot, but to me, this is a step up. This is less of I don't even know how to describe it. I was super comfortable working with the people that I met at the convention because they're my people. These other people seem to be, you know, they're a little bit level up. And I just kind of, I'm doing a landing page, I'm doing thank you pages, I'm doing a sales funnel, I'm doing an email series, all designed to go to homeschoolers. So I know my audience inside and out. I just want to make sure that I want to make sure it comes across right. And I think another set of eyes on it might make me feel a little bit better.
Gotcha. So here's the thing. We tried doing a copy critique thread at one time. This is a while back. And we tried different approaches to it. And bottom line, it just didn't work well. And I wasn't surprised. I wanted to try it and I wanted to give it everything we had because I saw the value and a lot of people saw the value. Here is my theory as to why it doesn't work well. Well, a couple of things. First of all, when you post it, you kind of need feedback relatively quickly because when you're done with a draft, you probably have to turn it in the next day or close to that. So it becomes like, you know, this expectation that I need feedback and actually need it today. And most people can't drop what they're doing, you know, to do that. The second thing is, it's always the same, like two or three people, if that, who are giving the feedback. And eventually, you know, even the ones who just love to help get busy and or get tired of being the only ones, you know. So that's the other thing. And, you know, the third too is that it creates kind of an expectation. It's like, you know, if I put it here, I really want some feedback, and it creates some resentment when you don't get it. So where before it could have been seen as an unexpected benefit, now it becomes like a source of anxiety and just, I don't know, it just creates, I think, bad feelings all the way around. So we don't do it. Now, you're welcome to post, you know, hey, can I get another set of eyes on this, if you don't mind? But I would keep your expectations in check based on what I just mentioned. You know, I think the better approach is to find like a couple of peers you already have somewhat of a relationship with, and just like behind the scenes, just agree to an informal type of copy critique circle. And for that to work, you know, you could start out very, very informal, but if you want to go beyond that and be more of a resource for you, and this, by the way, this is for anybody who's thinking that they would like this, you need to draft like a set of guidelines and rules, if you will. So just expectations, whatever you want to call them, and have everyone agree on them. Because otherwise, what I just described is going to happen to that group also.
All right. That does that make sense. And, you know, part of me wants to say, okay, I need everybody to read this to make sure that I'm not screwing up. And part of me says, you know what, I really need to walk by myself, but I don't want to screw up. You know, I'm on that fine line of I can do this by myself, or can I? So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, you feel like you still need the training wheels and knee pads. Maybe not so much the training wheels, but, you know, the helmet, the knee pads, the elbow pads. And, you know, eventually you're going to be going down that hill enough that, you know, nothing's happened. I think I can shed some of the safety gear, right?
Right. Well, I mean, you know, that's one of the reasons I was able to do the proposals, because I had psyched myself up enough to just hit send. I mean, I was terrified. And they're beautiful proposals. One of the ladies actually wrote me back and said, this is the most, I forgot the word she used, but she says, this is one of the best proposals I've ever seen. And I'm like, seriously?
Wow.
It was just, okay. I took a template that I liked, and I took a photograph from their website and made that the cover. And I put their logo on the cover. And it took me all of about 2 minutes to do that. And so I guess it looked all right. And then the inside was literally, this is what you want to do, because we talked about it on the phone and you got the right person. So I don't know.
Maybe I'm not
giving myself enough credit. I don't know.
I was going to say, stuff, I think that's what it sounds like to me. I think you need to use these situations as a reminder. Because it's so, I think what I'm hearing, Beverly, is you're kind of shooting those down or downplaying them and really highlighting the things that are more negative. So I think you kind of need to work on being better about highlighting and focusing on what you just described. And that will, it's not that the negative stuff is not going to happen. That will always be there. But when you put focus on something, the other stuff just kind of takes backseat.
Yeah. So just, I guess, remember that she said that she liked it, and she's a big voice. It's the weirdest thing. This lady's telling everybody that I am the greatest thing that ever happened to them. And I talked to her for an hour at the conference, and this is rolling up to, you know, a really big company. I couldn't. So she says, I know Steve. Steve's my buddy. I'm going to call him. I'm like, no, don't call Steve. Well, she called Steve. And then she called me with Steve on the phone. I had no choice but to act professional. And Steve's like, yeah, this is great. There's a proposal. I can't wait to get it. Anyway, it's just one of those perfect stories. But it worked. And I'm sitting there after I hung up the phone, shaking my head, going, I don't believe that just happened.
Yeah.
What am I going to do now? You know, pulling my hair out. But, you know, I just, I don't know. I guess I expected good things to happen, and they did. Anyway, I'm all nervous.
Well, that's totally normal. To give yourself permission to be that way, it's totally normal, and anybody in your situation would be. So you're doing the right thing. And yeah, feel free if you want to, you know, run something by the group, just as long as you keep your expectations in check. But I would also consider, you know, maybe trying to set something up with a couple of buddies and, you know, see if you can make that work, okay?
All right. I may actually throw a question out in the group and say, hey, you know, would anybody like to help me with just this once? Because I think if I do it once, I don't think it's going to bother me after that. I mean, I could send a proposal to somebody else. I wouldn't think about it. I wouldn't think twice because I've already done the hard part, and that was writing the proposal. I could change the names and change the deliverables and send one out tomorrow and not bat an eye.
Yeah.
It's just that first time, you know, but yeah, I might just send a question out and say, hey, would somebody like take a peek at this? And I gave myself 3 weeks on this project. So I've got a little time that's just to whip out, you know, the ugly first draft.
Yeah.
And just have some, I mean, I think I'm going to be fine, but it's, you know, I'll be all right.
You will be. You will be. But you need, yeah, you need that, those knee pads and the elbow pads. Absolutely. I get it. Yeah, put that out. So put that out, and I bet you'll get somebody to take you up on it.
Will do. I'm getting a lot of really good advice, and I appreciate it so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah, this is a great group. So that's awesome. Good stuff, guys. Let's see. I'm just going through the chat area again. If you have a question, you want to talk about something, you need feedback on a situation or maybe some of the material you're going through in your game plan, just type in a capital Q and let me know. You don't have to tell me the whole thing. Just give me an idea. I'll unmute you and we can have a conversation, okay? So capital Q in the chat area. Daniel, he used to work for Batdorf. That's exactly who I get my coffee delivered from, Batdorf and Bronson. Man. So good. So good. Small world. Isn't that crazy? You know, I just thought of this. Daniel, you, Beverly, and I, all three are in North Georgia. Beverly is out in Athens. I know you're in Cobb County, and I'm here in Roswell, Woodstock. I think this is the first call I've ever done where there's three people in the same area. So that's they do. That's just an amazing coffee. No, what coffee? Yeah. All right. I don't see any questions. So, guys, if I missed anyone, let me know. Just type in a quick message. I'm just sorting through, making sure I didn't miss someone. I've been known to miss some of these. While I'm waiting, I wanted to ask you guys something. What's been most valuable so far? And we've had kind of a good diversity of topics here today. And I'm curious, what's been most valuable so far? Either something we discussed or something that maybe a discussion in the chat area, maybe something you listen to somebody else talk about or a conversation I have with somebody else. Type in a V, capital V, in the chat area. Let me know. I'm just curious what's been most useful so far for you. And yes, I will, what is it, 4 o'clock here Eastern? I think I'm still okay. When this call is over, I think I might brew myself a small cup. All this coffee talk. Beverly says, most valuable, getting encouragement. No, I'm not. I'm knowing I'm not alone and believing I can do new stuff. I appreciate you all. Absolutely. You know, this is a process, guys. And, you know, it's, sometimes it's going to be the kind of thing where, let me just kind of go back to my iPad here. It's all about comfort zones. So if your comfort zone is this, it's about continuing to stretch it, okay, by taking actions outside of that. So, you know, if you start here, the whole idea is, you know, to do something that's really kind of out here, okay? This is right now at this point, this would be panic, the panic zone. I'm not going to ask you to do that. There are a lot of motivational speakers and coaches and authors will tell you to do something crazy like that. Does it work? Absolutely. I prefer to take incremental but bold steps. You know, I'd rather see you do this, because what happens when you do that is suddenly your borders, notice, have widened, okay? And now this is about going from there to here. And when you do that, you've created, again, a new normal for yourself, okay? So now when you do go to the next level, this is no longer panic. And this takes time, but eventually, look how far you've come, okay? I think if you look back at your life, this is just a very normal part of growing, personally and professionally. We've all done this. It's just sometimes we don't recognize it because we've done it in other areas and we think that freelancing is completely different, but it's really not. So taking one step at a time, and to give you kind of another visual model that has helped me a lot, especially I think over the past year or so. When you are in a situation that you're really scared about, let's just say it's, oh my gosh, I'm talking to this big prospect and I've never had anyone in this particular market or somebody this size contact me or that I've talked to, and I really can't screw this up. Okay. But you're not sure what to quote, and let's just say that you're just scared. And normally, let's just say this is the low end and this is the high end, the highest. So this is the lowest. What should you quote? I always say when you're in a situation where there's, you know, extremes and you're not sure where to go, find the middle point, okay? Find the middle point, and then instead of quoting that, actually look at this as quartiles. This is the sweet spot, okay? So just to put numbers to it, if this is the lowest you'd quote is 2,000, and the highest you'd quote is, let's just say, possible, but you just can't even imagine doing anything higher, 5K. So what's the middle? It's 3.5K. Right. What I encourage everyone to do is just go one step beyond that. Okay. Maybe quote 4 or quote 3,800. Okay. It's not so much about the money. It's about going again and stretching yourself out of that comfort zone. So this is the magic quartile is what I'm calling it. Same thing. what's the lowest level prospect I can see myself going after? What's the absolute highest where I'd be sweating so bad I don't know if I could do it? All right, find the prospects that are kind of in the middle and then just move up a little bit. Lots of different applications to this. Should I let go of this client? You know, which client should I let go of? Same idea, okay? So you just got to be just slightly outside your comfort zone, and what happens is you gradually, incrementally, work your way to a much better place. Okay, let's see. Beverly says, yep, she's Where's the heart emoji? Yes, I can't find it either. Eva, back burner project, most valuable so far. Keep writing while I'm waiting and hopefully have some takers. Reminders that we're all taking action. Big action, super great. Daniel says, tactics around positioning and prospecting. I think that's been my biggest unknown up until this point. That and the mindset piece. Wonderful. Good stuff. All right. So again, open floor right now. If you have something you'd like to discuss, something that's come up, something you need feedback on or a question, let me know. All right, I don't see any other questions. Step up one and all. Yes, that's right. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Oh, okay, Beverly's typing a question. You know what, Beverly, you don't have to type it. I can just unmute you, hold on. Hey, Beverly, you're on.
Easier, okay, thank you. Okay, I don't wanna be negative on this, but on the offhand chance they say, whoa, that's way too much, I've heard that you never lower your price, you just add more stuff. And so I wouldn't even know what to do from there. Like, I don't know what else I could add. So is there some happy little advice for that?
So the question is, if you put out send out a price, they want to negotiate, yes. And... Yeah. So that was only one way. That's one of several things you could do. The idea behind the concepts, what's really important, is not so much the actual counteroffer. The concept is this, guys. If you quote something and the client says, ooh, it's higher than I thought it would be. Let's just say you quoted 2,000 and they were kind of thinking it wouldn't be any higher than 1,500. The biggest thing, most important thing, is that you don't automatically concede. Okay, well, I can do it for 1,500. It might sound like, you know what, I'm growing, I am expanding, I'm doing whatever. That justifies the concession. And it's actually not true at all. You're hurting yourself and you're hurting the client and your relationship with the client for several reasons. One is this, just it's proven psychologically when you concede, without asking for something in return, for a few seconds, the prospect is going to be happy, but then they're actually gonna not be as happy. Because one of the things they're gonna wonder is, I wonder how much lower we could have gotten. I mean, she said yes to our request so quickly. You know, what's going on there? The second thing is, you're creating an expectation, then when you quote something, that's really more of a suggestion and not a firm price.
Right.
And there's other problems with it. So that's really the concept. Now, you got it right. One of the things you could do is, you always ask for something in return. And one of the things you could do is, like, I can't lower it, but here's what I can throw in. Okay, so that's one way that you're conceding in a way by adding additional value, but not giving in on the price. You could also, another thing you could do is, you could do less for less. Well, for $1,500, I can't do this full scope, but here's what I can do. You know, okay. So instead of, you know, I can't do all of these four things, but, you know, I can do these three or whatever.
Well, it did sound like tiered pricing with multiple things. So if they pick, you know, A, B, or C, I can adjust it within those things already. I kind of left my, I gave them a menu almost. With, you know, tiered pricing. If you want this, that's great. This is what it'll cost you. But if you want this, you know, I mean, if you want to pay more, you can get all of that plus a couple of extra things. So I think I left myself some wiggle room in there if one of those numbers doesn't suit them. But if they balk at the lower tier, I'm just going to have to start chopping stuff off and go, no, nope, you're on your own with that. But I just want, yeah. I want to be able to have my head what to say if I don't think they will. I really don't. They kind of threw out a couple of budget numbers, but they were overall budget numbers. I like to rehearse in my head just in case. So, okay, I can,
that's fine.
I think I can.
You can rehearse in your head, but keep in mind that you don't have to deliver right there on the spot. So if you're in a situation where you're kind of caught off guard because you thought they're going to go in this direction or that direction or this other direction, and they went in a totally different direction, don't be afraid to say, you know what, let me give this some thought and get back to you. I don't want to give you an answer right now without really giving it the thought that it deserves, something along those lines.
Okay, perfect. That takes the pressure off. So good.
Yeah, because you're not expected to, you know, perform right there on the spot. I'm glad that you gave them options, A, B, or C. That makes it easier because it becomes an issue of which one do you want instead of is it yes or no.
Yeah.
So let's just see what they say. That really reduces the request for, well, can you do it for this much? Because, again, you're giving them these three choices. But what if, you know, they want C, but, you know, without this and this? Or what do they want C, but they want it for lower? Then that's when, you know, you could look at different options.
Okay. I think I left myself plenty of different roads that they can take and that I can accommodate. But, okay, good. I feel better about it already.
Good. Good. And, you know, make sure that you understand when somebody's asking you, you know, can you do this, but can you do it for this amount? I always like to buy myself a little bit more time too, and then dig a little bit deeper by asking, you know, tell me more about that. So why, you know, what's your motivation for taking that out? Or, you know, what are you thinking you'll get by taking that out, or something along those lines. I want to make sure that my question doesn't sound like I'm being defensive, but I want to better understand how they're thinking about it, especially if it came out of left field.
Okay.
You know, and then what can happen in many cases is they'll open up and tell you and reveal something that you weren't aware of. And then you can understand, because then you can address those issues. For instance, you know, this case study, what if we did the interview? I can't pay $1,200, you know, can you do it for $800? And then sometimes they'll offer, you know, we can do the interview, we can take care of that, we can just go ahead and give you everything you need, and you just basically write it. And then once you understand how they're thinking about it, because I've told you that, you can come back with, you know, I really respect that. I always do the, you familiar with feel, felt, found?
No.
Felt, found. So the idea is, you know, most people would say, well, you know, that's not going to work because, so you start with feel. Hey, I know how you feel. I understand, right? You always agree with them. I get it. I see where you're coming from. You know, I've had clients, I've had prospects who have asked the same thing and wonder the same thing. Okay, so you're kind of adding. However, I have found that when somebody else does the interview, you really miss a lot because the writer is not there to dig in the way that they would dig to find the juiciest pieces that they would want based on how they're going to craft the story. I'm ad-libbing right now, as you can tell, right? But
yeah.
it's almost like you've given me something that's prepackaged, which is great. And that might give you a good piece. But when the person who's writing the piece is not there, the part of the writing process is fully understanding it from the writer's viewpoint. And the writer is not going to have the ability to dig deeper into some things that might turn up some huge golden nuggets and won't be able to create a great piece. So I found that on paper, it does sound like it'd be a great idea for somebody to go ahead and do the interview and then just hand everything to the writer. But there's going to be something missing there. You know, part of my skill set is the ability to extract really valuable insights and hooks from the interviewee. And, you know, that's just part of the value that I'm giving you here. So it's not just the 30 minutes it's going to take to do the interview. That's actually a small part of the value. So you see, that's just an example of how once you dig a little bit deeper, you can further understand why they're concerned. And, you know, maybe it's just that we just don't have the money or we don't have the budget for it. And then you can address that and then address maybe the risk. Well, the risk of, you know, leaving all these things out is this is not going to be as effective. And here's why, you know, and then they can start thinking about that money they think they're saving a little bit differently. Okay.
Yes. That was awesome. That helps a lot.
Good. Yeah, so just be as prepared as you can, but if you're thrown off course, then feel free to hit the pause button and ask for a little bit of time to think it through.
I can handle that.
All right. Anybody else? I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. All right, well, let's wrap up then. And as always, want to know how are you going to use what you learn here? Want to make sure you're not just taking notes and nodding your head and going, yeah, this is great. Of course, it's wonderful if you do that, but I want to make sure you have at least one action item. That's what I like to focus on right now. It's if you could type in just an A, capital A, and give me one action item, something that you are committed to doing based on our discussion today. It could be something we discussed. It could be something you heard from somebody else. It could be an insight that came to you while you were listening to somebody else talk or me have a conversation with somebody else. It doesn't really matter. Give me one action item based on today's call that you're committed to doing over the next week, okay? One action item. Want to make sure you were actually able to put these ideas in action. That's why they're called momentum calls. This is all about momentum, and you can't get momentum without taking action. So Eva says, run my article ideas through my content multiplier and start planning my next steps. Excellent. Daniel, getting busy with warm mule prospecting. Absolutely. Getting a crash course there, my friend. Beverly, more prospecting on LinkedIn and finding a peer for a bit of critique. Wonderful. Good. Good. Anyone else? I know Emmy is still here. I want to make sure I got everybody. All right, guys. Well, listen, great discussion today. We had quite a variety of topics we went through. I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of the day. We'll continue the conversation in the Facebook group. I'm going to head downstairs, brew myself a cup of Batdorf and Bronson French roast, and I might be up all night. Who knows? You guys have a wonderful rest of the day, and we'll talk soon. Take care.